This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right. Are you ready? Hello and welcome back to yet another preview episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. Wednesday night will see us all spending the night with our one true love, Plymouth Argyle. Coventry City are the visitors to Home Park on Valentine's Day, thanks to Sky Sports showcasing the clash on the red button. There was no love lost for the officials in the last fixture. Is Mark Robbins getting the 7-year itch? I don't know, they're just puns that work. Joining me tonight is Shag, Joe Bell.
Brilliant.
Mary, Graham.
Good evening.
And Kill, Sam Down.
Was that one you just thought of on the spot? That's really awful.
Yeah, I know. Really bad. I don't want to do any of those things to any of you. Go on, Graham. I'll let you start. You've visited the Coventry's ground today, so you've got a bit more insight than us.
Slightly inadvertently through the M42 diversion, we got caught right in the middle of it. Did hear a bit of the commentary on the game, but I've seen the goals, but didn't watch it live. Well, they've replaced Sunderland as the last spot in the playoffs, so another tough game for us. And it's only November, I think it was the end of November we played them. And I remember then Coventry actually were below us in the table when we played them. So they've gone on a terrific run. I mean, Mark Robbins is the most underrated manager in the Championship by far. What he's done for that club from League Two upwards. I'm amazed he's never quoted for a top job, because he's just done a fantastic job in incredibly difficult circumstances, going back to the Coventry Building Society Stadium, as it's called now, and all the nonsense with Wasps. And you look at the size of the crowds again, 25 plus every game. So they're on the up. I went to the away game, and to be fair, I didn't think they were much better. So we had that very controversial over the line goal that Hadji Wright put in. It was a bit of a scrappy performance for both sides. One player that did catch my eye was Sakamoto, who plays on the right hand side, bombs up and down. So you've got to watch him. Wright scored 2 goals today. Obviously a player to watch. And I think, funny enough, I think we might see Dan Scarb back in, because Wright's a very physical upfront player, and I think Dan Scar would relish the challenge of playing with him. I think Ashley Phillips is probably due for a break, and wouldn't be surprised if Plaguey came in on that right hand side and play, and Brendan Gallo the same. He's played a lot of games. So Gibson on the left hand side of the three. But it's gonna be a difficult game, but I do fancy us, actually, to certainly get a draw at least. They're going to be a good side, but They played Sunday, so their rest and recovery and travel down, they travel down on the Tuesday, so they'll be doing exactly the same as we be, but just obviously not the same sort of distances.
Yeah, Sam, obviously Graham mentions it there. They've shot up the table, obviously, since we faced them. How do you see Wednesday night going?
Yeah, it'll be a very difficult game. They're a really good side, and I think over a period of 3 months, there's probably not many doing better in the league than them. Probably only the top three that are, even Leeds, they must be quite close to. However, it would be sort of a lovely poetry to it if losing to them was what sparked their good run. If maybe a loss at Home Park might end their good run. There might be a certain irony to that. I think we've got a chance. We've always got a chance at home. We've only, in about the last 2 years, lost 6 league home games. Remarkable. I think whoever it is, Leeds United, Leicester, Southampton, whoever, at Home Park, we've got a good chance of at least getting a draw, maybe even a win. I think there will be a bit of a point to prove after Saturday. I think, as I mentioned on the other podcast that was absolutely not recorded just before this one, I did say that the Sunderland in the second half was very uninspiring. Ian Foster will clearly be a little bit annoyed with the manner of how we gifted them some of the goals. I do think we'll come out with a point to prove. And I just think that Coventry, they sort of must be due a loss. I've got a feeling we'll get something. Maybe a draw. I've just got a good feeling about a win on Valentine's night. I don't know why. That's just the way I see it going.
Love is in the air, says Sam Down. Joe, again, Graham's already mentioned it. Mark Robbins, underrated, or is he mentioned far too much in that underrated conversation to be underrated?
A lot of underrating going on in terms of managers who don't get anywhere near enough credit. Job that he did to get them out. Because you've got to remember, he was there when they were in League Two as well. He's been on this journey with them. It's a quite astonishing achievement to get them where they are. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a manager I respect. He gets his side playing combative football, and they're a good side to watch. But as Graham says, it was a scrappy game back in November. Neither team were fluent, neither team were at their best, and unfortunately, it took a refereeing decision. I don't see why we shouldn't be confident because we are at home. Since Swansea beat us earlier on in the season, and Swansea beat us, what, start of October? The league games that we have lost are against Coventry, Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, and Sunderland. The current league positions of those teams, as we sit here recording, are first, second, third, fourth, sixth, seventh. Therefore, it tends to be that we're struggling against the teams that are at the top end of the table. However, I will caveat that by saying every single one of those games is on the road. So Coventry now have to come to Home Park. They have to come to a place that we don't lose very often. For a while now, we've been very good at home. So, look, bring it on. As Ozzy said it himself, these are a lot of people work very hard at this football club to get us a run of games like this at home, where we challenge ourselves against the best in the Championship. It's going to be tough. It starts on Wednesday night, but hey, romantic in me sees an Argyle win on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I don't know what you've done to your mic there, Joe. Not the best audio, can't lie. Especially when I would have clipped that bit up as well. Anyway, 8 players who started the 1-0 defeat up in Coventry are very unlikely to feature, namely Cooper, Kane, Kessel, Hayden, Kundal and Azaz, 3 of which aren't on the books anymore. They'll be very surprised if Azaz runs out in an Argyle shirt. On a caveat to that, Azaz is doing very much of a Whittaker, in the fact that Middlesbrough fans don't really understand him, don't get him. Send it back to us for £1 million, please. Anyway, what changes would you look to make Wednesday night? I think Randall in for JB looks like a common consensus, right?
Just quickly, you said 8 of the 11 are very unlikely to play, and you named 4. Who are the other 4 who are not likely to play?
Yeah, I shouldn't have used the word very. They are unlikely to play. Okay. Well, Craig Wazelo's not had a sniff. We don't know about Houghton's.
Jordan Houghton and Bundu are both injured, aren't they? So that's
there you go. We don't know about Houghton's injury.
Did Bundu start the game up there, did he?
No, he came on as sub.
Right, okay. I'm picking apart one line really here, aren't I? I should probably answer the question.
Ben Lane started up front, so I mean, there's at least six. Joe Edwards might play after not playing on Saturday, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. What would I do? Surely Galloway can't do 4 in 11 days, can he? Surely not. I'd probably do, particularly if one of them went to extra time. I'd probably do start for Galloway just to give him a game off, and maybe move Gibson over to the left. I would consider Plegathwaelu for Phillips. Again, just for rotation, much as anything else. I would go Sorinola in, and I would move Mumba across to the left, and rest Miller, because again, he's not going to do full 90s four times in 11 days. So I'd go Mumba on the left, Sorinola on the right. I would go, well, Forshaw's not going to be fit. You know, hopefully it's not long, but you know, after some, you know, when the word ligaments is involved, it's never going to be a 3 day, isn't it? It's probably going to be at least a couple of weeks. It could be longer, hopefully not, but if he's back on Tuesday, you'd be amazed. So I don't think Forshaw will be fit. So that means Randall would naturally come in for Forshaw. I'm a little bit contrary to what I do about the other slot, because I think Houghton's still going to be injured. The logical answer is JB just plays next to Randall, but I'd actually do something a little bit out of the ordinary. I would swap Devine and JB around, because the Port Vale fans all very much said Devine is much better in a deeper position where he can scrap for the ball and spray it about a bit. And under Ange Postecoglou, Tottenham appear to have been primarily developing him as a deeper player as well in their 4-3-3 formation that they play. So I would play Devine deeper next to Randall, and I would fill the gap left by Devine by pushing JB up, because I do think JB, the defensive side of his game, is a bit of a weakness. He obviously could have done a little bit better for probably all three of the goals at Sunderland, if I'm being truthful. Certainly the first and the third, maybe even the second as well. So I would move JB a bit further up, where he can utilise his undoubted talents without having to worry about the defensive side of the game. So I would go across the midfield, Sorinola, Randall, Devine, Mumba, with a front three of JB, Whittaker and Hardy. That's how I'd line up.
I don't know if you know this, lad. Somebody called Ryan has asked, how important in the context of the season are the next three home games? Get two wins out of three, and then championship survival is pretty much there, right?
Yeah. I think, just to confess, he's my son. So, I'd agree with him, to be fair. Six points would be fantastic. 9 points would be unbelievable. But I think 4 is a realistic target. And just going back to what Sam said about playing, nobody's actually commented, but Sousa came on at the end of, I think he played the last 10-15 minutes. And I thought he looked classy. He's going to feature in one of the three games, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't feature on Wednesday.
You know what, Graham? Sorry, just to interject before you rejoin again. I completely forgot about Sousa, but I was naming that team. In my head, I was picking between Mumba and Miller as my left side options. I basically just forgot about him, if I'm being honest. So probably on that basis, I actually would.
Bring back John Allsopp, all is forgiven.
I probably would actually go with you and start Sousa and maybe give Mumba a rest. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so 6 points would be great. As I say, 4 is a realistic target, and it will shape our survival if these next three games. I mean, let's be honest. And I'm confident we are going to rotate and expect the unexpected, and the players that may not have featured so prominently may well feature well. I mean, just about Giarbi, first half, I thought he was our best player at Sunderland. He did an enormous amount of filling the gaps. So I'm not so convinced about swapping in with Alfie Devine. Alfie Devine's got to learn to... He tends to play backwards a bit too much for me. If he can look to play forwards and link in with Ryan Hardy or with the wing-back coming wide, I think he'll be more effective. So I wouldn't swap the two of them. But I think Dan Scar to take out Hadji Wright is almost certain, I'm sure. I think Brendan Galloway's due for a rest, as you say, because I think we might need his defensive qualities for the next two games after that.
Go on, Joe. Give us your prediction on the lineup then. The other two have done it.
Right, let's play a bit of Fozzie Roulette. Hazard in goal. My wing backs are going to be Sousa on the left, and then on the right hand side will be Sorinola. I think we will see a back three then of Scar, Gibson, and Leguizuelo. I would agree that perhaps certainly Galloway needs resting. More the fact that we've probably worn out the rosary beads in praying that his you know, not necessarily take him out of the firing line, just sort of he put in a lot Tuesday night, and he tried to go again. He was the one who I was more visibly concerned about, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I agree.
At the end of yesterday's game. Mentally as well as physically. So I would probably give Phillips a little bit of a rest, but I would assure him that he's coming back in against Leeds, because I think he's been outstanding since he's come back in. Midfield wise, totally disagree with Sam. I probably wouldn't bring Devine back into a defensive role, only because I actually thought he had a decent game before that at Swansea, rather on the quiet compared to everyone else. And he was certainly putting a decent performance against Cardiff. So I would stick with JB in midfield. It's going to have to be Randall, because we all assume that Houghton, unfortunately, is going to miss this one. However, if Forshaw is going to be out for a period, whether it's one game, 3 weeks, 3 months, Gordon Houghton needs to be back in around the fold. Because it's all well and good saying, oh, we got Adam Randall. When Adam Randall becomes a regular starter again, we are then short again in that position. So we need to get a bit of depth back there. And then the front three picks itself, Whittaker, Hardy, Devine. So yeah, that's my 11. But there's probably a reason, and all our listeners, or all our two listeners, are probably sat at home thinking, "Thank God Uncle Simon doesn't pay in to manage the team."
Anything to add? What is that?
No, there might be a shout out for Caleb Roberts, actually, because I think Ian Foster does like his energy, and certainly he portrayed some of that in the second half. he's got a rasping shot on him. I think he might feature in one of the three. And if you're going to pick one of the three, Coventry would be that game.
So yeah, can I interject?
He might be a surprise starter. He wasn't in the squad on Saturday. I assume he travelled, but he wasn't in the squad. So that might be a surprise package in the middle.
Sam, would you like an invitation to interject?
Yes, thank you very much for muting and unmuting me. I think that's what I just want to say, really. After what I said after the Leeds game, the Leeds away game, that Caleb Roberts, a lot of energy and a lot of tenacity, but maybe little bit lacking in the passing quality. I wasn't actually on the post-Leeds home game podcast, but I really want to take the chance, because I feel that having given that view, I want to be more positive when merited. Fantastic from him at home park. So much better than he was in the away game. He married the tenaciousness and the sort of endeavour and the sort of bravery that we already saw, with real, real quality and clever use of the ball. Really excellent from him and the Saka in that Leeds Cup game. So wouldn't at all surprise me to see both of them get some minutes during this three-game run.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we've forgotten about Freddie, because certainly on the left-hand side of he could play the Devine role at home, I think. I mean, his pace is lethal, and I mean, he made an impact against Leeds. So whether I'd start with him, I think I'd save him for coming on, making an impact. But again, might not rule out a start for him. He's got to start with him sometime.
Yeah, it'd be good to see Freddie get frost in. Should we finish some score predictions? Should we just go around the screen? Joe, go on then.
I'm hoping that in his 602nd EFL game, Keith Stroud is able to tell whether the ball is in play or out of play, rather than what Andy Davis tried to do earlier in the season. Nice to see little Keith back at home park. I'm going to take this as our point. I agree with Graham. I think we might actually get 4 points from the next available nine. I think this will be the draw of the three. And it will be a score draw, because we don't don't ever not score at home, it seems, these days. So one all, and Whittaker will be energetic and bright and enthusiastic and get the first goal of the game, and Coventry might come back into it.
Don't care. What county is Keith Stroud from?
Gloucestershire.
I think he's classed as Hampshire, but I think he's more commonly known as Gloucestershire. So.
Yeah. I fancy a 2-1 win, actually. And I hope and pray, and I would love it if Freddie came on and scored the winner in 5 minutes to go. That would be perfect. I think we will, we'll be reinvigorated. We're a force at home. And of the three games, I think Coventry is the one we're most likely to win.
I'm going to go with Graham, 2-1 win.
Okay, I'll go. I'm really bad at these. I don't think I've had a single one right since we rebooted the pod.
I just want to say I've got the last two scores right, so not just the results. So I'm going for a hat-trick.
Yeah, I'll go for a hat-trick as well. 3-0 to us. Yeah, I mean, I actually think we're going to lose this one. I don't know why, but... no room for that sort of negativity on here. Unless there's anything to add, I think we'll call that a night because I would love to go to bed. Cheers, guys.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.